Today is Monday, December 26th. Thank you for turning to World Radio to help start your day. Good morning. I'm Mary Reichard.
And I'm Nick Eicher. First up, remembering those who died in 2022. Now, we say it each year, but it is important to re-emphasize that every person is an image bearer of Christ. And in that sense, everyone is notable to God. And you may have lost this year a person who is notable to you. But these deaths we call your attention to this year are notables in the sense that they are widely known, for good or ill.
All this week, you will hear about notable deaths in five broad categories: politics, religion, sports and music, stage and screen, and science and business. The business world lost several well-known figures this year. Fashion and business mogul Leonardo Del Vecchio, who made millions of dollars on eyeglasses. Skier-turned-businesswoman Ivana Trump. Restaurateur Sylvia Wu, and the co-founder of the energy drink Red Bull, Dietrich Mateschitz.
Here now is world reporter Mary Muncy.
Johann Hulton helped discover the origins of the 1918 Spanish flu. One remote Alaskan village had been decimated by the illness. 72 of the 80 residents died within 5 days. In 1951, Hulton flew to that village to gather tissue samples from the corpses of flu victims. He exhumed several bodies. The first one was a little girl. Here's Hulton in an interview with Loud Voices' Silent Streets.
She was wearing a blue dress and had a red ribbon in her hair. It was heartbreaking, really.
Hulton took several samples back to his Iowa lab, but couldn't recreate viable cultures. He gave up the project and went back to school, but he kept tabs on the research. Almost 50 years later, he learned someone had partially recreated the Spanish flu's genetic code. Hulton wrote to that scientist, and within a week, he flew back to Alaska on his own dime to gather more samples. He sent them to the scientist, and within 10 years, that lab had decoded the Spanish flu's genetic code.
I almost talked myself into believing that nothing would ever come of it. But you know, you really shouldn't ever lose your passion or your belief. You just have to find the motivation to just keep going.
Hulton died in January. He was 97.
A mystery disease become an epidemic.
From a historic virus to an active one, Luc Montagnier is widely credited with discovering the virus that causes HIV. He grew up in France and remembered the country's liberation from Germany. The discovery of the virus that causes AIDS started with a sheep, then horses, and then cows. Montagnier noticed it was the same virus infecting all of them, causing long-lasting problems even though none of the animals had an immune deficiency. After that, Montagnier organized a team that got to work identifying the virus that would eventually be named HIV, the virus that causes AIDS in humans. In 2008, Montagnier was a joint recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for his discovery.
Our effort has been a collective effort involving many collaborators. It's really not the work of one or a few persons, but really the work of many people.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Montagnier questioned COVID's origins and raised concerns over potential new vaccine dangers. One of the most widely reported claims was that the vaccine would end up causing new COVID variants. Montagnier died in February. He was 89.
This is my friend Jenny. She's real sick.
Until Audrey Evans, there was very little anyone could do for children with cancer other than comfort them. But Evans pioneered new treatments for neuroblastoma, a cancer commonly found in infants. During her career, neuroblastoma deaths dropped by half. Nearly 80% of children now survive. She's also co-founded the first Ronald McDonald House in 1974.
I guess being together is what makes Ronald McDonald House so special.
Ronald McDonald Houses are near cancer treatment centers and offer affordable housing for families with sick children.
And the center of treatment for a child with cancer is the family. A family with a sick child is a sick family.
Evans told the Philadelphia Inquirer that she learned to talk to children about death. She said that one of the best things you can do is be honest with them. She would also let the children bring their animals into treatment. One child brought in a bunny, another a parakeet. She died in her home in September. She was 97. From cancer treatment to medical deterrence.
It's easy to measure cholesterol. It's easy to measure blood pressure. When you're asking how do people eat behavior.
Jeremiah Stamler is widely considered to be the father of preventative cardiology. He started his research by studying the way different foods affected chickens' hearts. When Stamler started his research in the 1970s, many thought heart disease was a symptom of age, not something that could be prevented by a healthy lifestyle. His mantra was firm, steady pressure. He spent years analyzing case studies and then more years convincing the powers that be to listen. In an interview with Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, Stamler promoted researching proactive medicine along with reactive medicine.
In all aspects of medicine, I think prevention, primary prevention, and primordial prevention are very important, and I think they're applicable in every place.
At 98, Stamler told his stepson, Michael, that he didn't know how much longer he could go on. The next time Michael saw him, Stamler said, "I got a grant renewal. I'm living to 102. And sure enough, Stamler died in January at 102. Moving now from medicine to science. Marilyn Fogel dubbed herself the isotope queen for her analysis of atomic isotope ratios. The history of a living thing can be brought down to the chemical reactions that affected it. What kind of food did it eat? Was it warm or cold? When did it live? Fogel helped create methods to measure infinitesimal changes in an isotope's weight. That can help scientists understand the history of a living thing. But she didn't spend all of her time in a lab. As part of her research, Fogel went on expeditions around the world. Fogel at a lecture.
I was like always out in a swamp looking for something wet. It was where I was happiest.
Fogel died from Lou Gehrig's disease in her home in May. She was 69. From isotopes to chemistry. Robert Curl's parents bought him a chemistry set for Christmas when he was 9 years old. Within a week, he'd decided to become a chemist. Here's Curl in an interview with Academic Influence.
And I particularly liked things that combusted spontaneously, things that made explosions, things that smelled bad.
That was in 1943. 40 years later, he had gone through many more years of school and was working at the Rice Institute. He worked with a group of graduate students and scientists on a project to recreate carbon found in deep space. And they did it. But Curl didn't let them publish right away. He took his time verifying the results before announcing the discovery. They believed they'd found carbon-60, a soccer ball shape of 60 carbon atoms bonded together. Many dismissed the discovery. But years later, other scientists in Germany figured out how to create larger quantities and analyze them. Curl and two colleagues shared the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1996.
I still don't regard myself as actually being a scientist. I just like doing it. I like the work.
Curl died in July. He was 88. Staying in space, NASA's Eugene Parker Solar Probe blasted off in 2018. It was the first NASA rocket bearing the name of a then-living person. Here's Parker after the launch.
As a theoretician, I greatly admire the scientists and engineers whose patient efforts together converted the solar probe concept into a functioning reality ready to do battle with the solar elements as it divulges the secrets of the expanding corona. So, hooray for solar probe. Thank you.
In 1958, Parker theorized the existence of solar wind, a supersonic flow of particles off the sun's surface. At first, this theory was widely criticized and even mocked. But in 1962, a NASA mission to Venus proved that solar wind affected the universe. When asked to give advice to young scientists, he said, "If you do something new, expect trouble." Parker died in March. He was 94. From science to business. It's miraculous. Dan Wieden, the creator of Nike's slogan, "Just Do It," started his career after his writing job fired him. He says he walked into his basement where his wife was doing laundry. She was pregnant with their fourth child. She asked how his day went, and he told her he'd been fired. She looked up and said, "Something will come up." Here's Wieden.
I mean, she gave me what I could not give myself, which was permission to fail. You have to be able to fail if you're going to do anything worthwhile.
After that, he and his business partner founded Wieden & Kennedy in 1982. They had a few chairs, some cardboard file cabinets, and one client, Nike. Before their first pitch meeting, Wieden & Kennedy had many different commercials in mind, but needed something to tie them together, something the most casual walker and the most hardcore athlete could relate to. And so, Just Do It was born. Now, Wieden & Kennedy is the world's largest independent advertising agency. Wieden died in October. He was 77.
Just do it.
And we end today with an inventor. In the 1960s, Clayton Jacobson II found himself sitting in a ditch in Southern California. He'd just fallen off his dirt bike. Again. As he sat on the ground, picking rocks out of his skin, he thought, there's gotta be a better way. He decided he wanted to enjoy a motorcycle without the risk of hitting the ground at high speeds. So, he built what he called a motorcycle on the water. That sound is Clayton doing a body slide on what he called a Sea-Doo. But it never quite took off. Then he signed a new deal with Kawasaki in 1973. And the newly named jet ski, well, that took off.
If where you want to be is on a Kawasaki jet ski watercraft...
The jet ski became so popular that Bombardier relaunched the Sea-Doo in 1998, and it became one of the world's most popular boating brands. Clayton died in his home in Australia in August. He was 88. Reporting for World, I'm Mary Muncy.